Principle 4.4. Find out what you and others are like. Because of the biases with which we are wired, our self-assessments and our assessments of others tend to be highly inaccurate. Psychometric assessments are much more reliable. They are important in helping explore how people think during the hiring process and throughout employment. Though psychometric assessments cannot fully replace speaking with people and looking at their backgrounds and histories, they are far more powerful than traditional interviewing and screening methods. If I had to choose between just the assessments or just traditional job interviews to get at what people are like, I would choose the assessments. Fortunately, we don't have to make that choice. The four main assessments we use are the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI, the Workplace Personality Inventory, the Team Dimensions Profile, and Stratified Systems Theory. But we are constantly experimenting, for example, with the Big Five, so our mix will certainly change. Whatever the mix, they all convey people's preferences for thinking and action. They also provide us with new attributes and terminologies that clarify and amplify those we had identified on our own. I'll be describing a few of them. These descriptions are based on my own experiences and learnings, which are in many ways different from the official descriptions used by the assessment companies. A. Introversion versus extroversion. Introverts focus on the inner world and get their energy from ideas, memories, and experiences, while extroverts are externally focused and get their energy from being with people. Introversion and extroversion are also linked to differences in communication styles. If you have a friend who loves to talk out ideas and even has trouble thinking through something if there isn't someone around to work it through with, he or she is likely an extrovert. Introverts will usually find such conversations painful, preferring to think privately and share only after they've worked things out on their own. I found that it is important to help each communicate in the way they feel most comfortable. For example, introverts often prefer communicating in writing, such as email, rather than speaking in group settings, and tend to be less open with their critical thoughts. B. Intuiting versus sensing. Some people see big pictures, forests, and others see details, trees. In the Myers-Briggs framework, these ways of seeing are best represented by the continuum from intuiting to sensing. You can get an idea of people's preferences by observing what they focus on. For example, when reading, a sensing person who focuses on details can be thrown off by typos such as there, T-H-E-R-E, instead of there, T-H-E-I-R. While intuitive thinkers won't even notice the mistake. That is because the intuitive thinker's attention is focused on the context first and the details second. Naturally, you'd rather have a sensing person than an intuitor preparing your legal documents, where every I must be properly dotted and every T crossed just so. C. Thinking versus feeling. Some people make decisions based on logical analysis of objective facts, considering all the known provable factors important to a given situation and using logic to determine the best course of action. This approach is an indicator of a preference for thinking and is how you'd hope your doctor thinks when he makes a diagnosis. Other people who prefer feeling focus on harmony between people. They are better suited to roles that require lots of empathy, interpersonal contact, and relationship building, for example, HR and customer service. Before we had assessments to identify these differences, conversations between T's and F's were really frustrating. Now we laugh as we bump up against our differences because we know what they are and can see them playing out in classic ways. D. Planning versus perceiving. Some people like to live in a planned, orderly way, and others prefer flexibility and spontaneity. Planners, or judgers in Myers-Briggs terms, like to focus on a plan and stick with it, while perceivers are prone to focus on what's happening around them and adapt to it. Perceivers work from the outside in. They see things happening and work backward to understand the cause and how to respond. They also see many possibilities that they compare and choose from. Often so many that they are confused by them. In contrast, planners work from the inside out, first figuring out what they want to achieve and then how things should unfold. Planners and perceivers have trouble appreciating each other. Perceivers see new things and change direction often. This is discomforting to planners, who weigh precedent much more heavily in their decision-making and assume if it was done in a certain way before, it should be done in the same way again. Similarly, planners can discomfort perceivers by being seemingly rigid and slow to adapt. E. Creators versus refiners versus advancers versus executors versus flexors. By identifying talents and preferences that lead people to feel a particular way, you can place them in jobs at which they will likely excel. At Bridgewater, we use a test called the Team Dimensions Profile, TDP, to connect people with their preferred role. The five types identified by the TDP are creators, refiners, advancers, executors, and flexors. Creators generate new ideas and original concepts. They prefer unstructured and abstract activities and thrive on innovation and unconventional practices. Advancers communicate these new ideas and carry them forward. They relish feelings and relationships and manage the human factors. They are excellent at generating enthusiasm for work. Refiners challenge ideas. They analyze projects for flaws, then refine them with a focus on objectivity and analysis. They love facts and theories and working with a systematic approach. Executors can also be thought of as implementers. They ensure that important activities are carried out and goals accomplished. They are focused on details and the bottom line. Flexors are a combination of all four types. They can adapt their styles to fit certain needs and are able to look at a problem from a variety of perspectives. Triangulating what I learn from each test reinforces or raises questions about the pictures of people I'm forming in my head. For example, when people's MBTI results suggest a preference for S, focus on details, and J, planful, and they come out as executors on the team dimension assessment, there is a very good chance that they are more detail-focused than right-brained and imaginative, which means that they would likely fit better in jobs that have less ambiguity and more structure and clarity. F. Focusing on tasks versus focusing on goals. Some people are focused on daily tasks while others are focused on their goals and how to achieve them. I've found these differences to be quite similar to the differences between people who are intuitive versus sensing. Those who tend to focus on goals and visualize best can see their big pictures over time and are also more likely to make meaningful changes and anticipate future events. These goal-oriented people can step back from the day-to-day and reflect on what and how they're doing. They are the most suitable for creating new things, organizations, projects, etc., and managing organizations that have lots of change. They typically make the most visionary leaders because of their ability to take a broad view and see the whole picture. In contrast, those who tend to focus on daily tasks are better at managing things that don't change much or that require processes to be completed reliably. Task-oriented people tend to make incremental changes that reference what already exists. They are slower to depart from the status quo and more likely to be blindsided by sudden events. On the other hand, they are typically more reliable. Although it may seem that their focus is narrower than higher-level thinkers, the roles they play are no less critical. I would never have gotten this book out or accomplished hardly anything else worthwhile if I didn't work with people who are wonderful at taking care of details. G. WPI characteristics. Another assessment we use is the Workplace Personality Inventory, WPI, a test based on data from the U.S. Department of Labor. It anticipates behavior and predicts job fit and satisfaction, singling out certain key characteristics and qualities, including persistence, independence, stress tolerance, and analytical thinking. This test helps us understand what people value and how they will make trade-offs between their values. For example, someone with low achievement orientation and high concern for others might be unwilling to step on others' toes in order to accomplish their goals. Likewise, someone who is bad at rule following may be more likely to think independently. We have found that something like 25 to 50 attributes can pretty well describe what a person is like. Each one comes in varying degrees of strength, like color tones. If you know what they are and put them together correctly, they will paint a pretty complete picture of a person. Our objective is to use test results and other information to try to do just that. We prefer to do it in partnership with the person being looked at because it helps us be more accurate, and at the same time, it's very helpful to them to see themselves objectively. Certain attributes combine frequently to produce recognizable archetypes. If you think about it, you can probably come up with a handful of archetypal people you meet over and over again in life. The spacey and practical artist, the tidy perfectionist, the crusher who runs through brick walls to get things done, the visionary who pulls amazing big ideas seemingly out of the air. Over time, I came up with a list of others, including shaper, chirper, tweaker, and open-minded learner, as well as advancer, creator, cat herder, gossiper, loyal doer, wise judge, and others. To be clear, archetypes are less useful than the better fleshed-out pictures created through the assessments. They are not precise. They are more like simple caricatures, but they can be useful when it comes to assembling teams. Individual people will always be more complex than the archetypes that describe them, and they may well match up with more than one. For example, the spacey artist may or may not also be a perfectionist or may be a crusher, too. While I won't go over all of them, I will describe shapers, the one that best represents me, in some depth. H. Shapers are people who can go from visualization to actualization. I talked a lot about the people I call shapers in the first part of this audiobook. I use the word to mean someone who comes up with unique and valuable visions and builds them out beautifully, typically over the doubts of others. Shapers get both the big picture and the details right. To me, it seems that shaper equals visionary plus practical thinker plus determined. I've found that shapers tend to share attributes such as intense curiosity and a compulsive need to make sense of things, independent thinking that verges on rebelliousness, a need to dream big and unconventionally, a practicality and determination to push through all obstacles to achieve their goals, and a knowledge of their own and others' weaknesses and strengths so they can orchestrate teams to achieve them. Perhaps even more importantly, they can hold conflicting thoughts simultaneously and look at them from different angles. They typically love to knock things around with other really smart people and can easily navigate back and forth between the big picture and the granular details, counting both as equally important. People wired with enough of these ways of thinking that they can operate in the world as shapers are very rare. But they could never succeed without working with others who are more naturally suited for other things and whose ways of thinking and acting are also essential. Knowing how one is wired is a necessary first step on any life journey. It doesn't matter what you do with your life as long as you are doing what is consistent with your nature and your aspirations. Having spent time with some of the richest, most powerful, most admired people in the world, as well as some of the poorest, most disadvantaged people in the most obscure corners of the globe, I can assure you that beyond a basic level, there is no correlation between happiness levels and conventional markers of success. A carpenter who derives his deepest satisfaction from working with wood can easily have a life as good or better than the President of the United States. If you've learned anything from this audiobook, I hope it's that everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and everyone has an important role to play in life. Nature made everything and everyone for a purpose. The courage that's needed the most isn't the kind that drives you to prevail over others, but the kind that allows you to be true to your truest self, no matter what other people want you to be.